Hey y'all, hey, welcome back to The Real Raw Real, and this is our final episode we have in the vault from last season, and this episode is with NPC and national level competitor Francenis Baez. Now, this episode is jam-packed with not only gems, but wisdom and perspective. I think Francenis' journey is particularly interesting in terms of how she's gotten to where she is and the mindset that has brought her this far. Now again, we recorded this last season and she had competed at Nationals 22 up to that point, and she ended up competing in Nationals, NPC Nationals 2023. So we are definitely big fans of Francenis, and I hope that you get as much out of this episode as we did, because like I said, gems were dropped, perspective was given, and her mindset is definitely one to study. And with that being said, I won't ruin it for you. So go ahead, give this episode a listen and let us know how you like it. Please definitely share with someone who might be interested and come back for more. This is just the vault release of last season, but we definitely have more episodes on the way. So please keep rocking with us. We got more in store for y'all. And thank you for listening. Y'all, hey, happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Hello. So welcome back to another episode of The Real Raw Real. We are your hosts, which I always forget to do. We are your hosts, Brandy, Londa, and Stephanie. And we have another amazing guest that I am excited to talk to today. We are excited to get to know her. I met her at NPC Nationals in 2022. She was in, what were we in, Class E together? Yeah. Yep, we were in the final top three. And I was actually very blown away by her. I definitely thought that she would be in the running. She has an amazing physique, but she has an even more amazing personality. I think we connected more after the show, and we've just kind of been chatting back and forth every now and then on the gram, and now we have her here on the pod. So today we would like to bring to you Miss Francenis. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Yes, Baez. She is an NPC competitor, pro card hopeful on the rise. I can't wait to see it. How are you doing today, girl?
I am doing phenomenal, and I am really excited to be here. Listening to you guys before, like, you guys sound so cool. So it's really exciting. It's really exciting to have virtual friends. So yeah, I'm doing phenomenal today.
Yay, awesome. So before we dive into who you are, I noticed that you just took a trip back home, perhaps?
Yes, I did.
Okay, how was that? Well, like amazing. Look like I need to be on vacation.
It was too short to meet you, but I needed it. You know, it's the end of the year and work is crazy, so we were like, you know what, let's just take a little getaway, let's go, you know, and get some sun and go to the beach. And it was phenomenal. It was great.
Nice, refreshing.
Very refreshing. Can't wait to do it again.
Awesome. Okay.
But you gotta tell us where you went.
I went to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic, and we went to an all-inclusive hotel for adults only. And it was an all-day party type of situation. I'm not a party person. And it was me, my boyfriend, and my sister, and another friend. So I was okay there because I was with them. But if it was just like me and my boyfriend, we're like, no, we need to switch hotels. I don't like it. It's too much for me. But we had a phenomenal time. It was something completely different from what we usually do. And it was great. Like, we ended up having a great time.
Nice.
Over there, you could see all type of things. When I'm telling you, the hotel was an adult hotel, very open-minded. It
Oh,
was very open-minded.
wow. Okay, hidden treasures in the DR. All right. Okay.
Dude, I like it. At this point, y'all know I can't go to any of those anymore. Actually, I haven't
Not
been
yet.
either. Listen, yes, we're gonna have to call up grandma real quick.
That's right. That exactly. Yeah.
We gonna plan this trip.
Like, Mama, I will be back. Hold
Hey,
it for me.
you'll have to give us all the deets so we can set something up to go somewhere. Somebody's.
Listen, do you need a girl's trip? I'm just saying, not trying to throw you
Right.
in
That would be really nice, like a bodybuilding retreat, like outside of the country, completely different. I mean, hopefully everybody will be in the off season or improvement season for that.
That's right.
It's delicious, so that would be great.
I second that. That's for sure. But yeah, all right. We all would love to go on vacation, but since we can't today, why don't we start with you? So just tell us a little bit about who you are. You can start from the very beginning if you want, or you can start from your bodybuilding career, but we want to know who you are and how did you get to the Bikini National Stage?
Sure. I am from the Dominican Republic. I was born and raised in Dominican Republic, and I moved to the US when I was 17. So at that point, I was transitioning into my senior year in high school. It was extremely difficult. I came to the United States, no English. Last year of my high school, it was hard. Me and my sister, we moved in with my dad in New York. And that was like our first time actually living with my dad. So we were in Dominican Republic, and he will come, twice a year for 15 days, maybe a month max, and he will come back to the US. So we were not used to living with him. So imagine three girls coming from Dominican Republic, no English, living with the dad, who at that point, I don't know how old he was, but like just to put in perspective, next Friday my dad is turning 80 and I'm 29. So it was a huge transition and a huge like culture shock coming to the US, to New York, a very hot melting pot. So it was tough. It was tough. We stayed in New York for about 5 years, and then I moved down here to Georgia. To Atlanta, to be specific. And at that point, my older sister, she was married. And his cousin's husband had a real estate company. So he gave me a job as a listing agent in one of his properties. And at that point, I was working full time, going to school, but I had to stop because, I moved to Atlanta. I need to make money. I need to bring my little sister down here. So I had to stop college for like about a year or a year and a half until like I got my life together. At that point, I was 22. So it was hard. Like, we came down here with no family. I knew I was going to start from zero, and I was like, it's okay. Everybody start from zero and I'll be fine. Then I finished my bachelor's in nutrition science. So I went to Georgia State, and then I, like my last 2 year, I changed school and I went to Purdue University. And that's like, it was completely online. And I finished, and then I met my boyfriend. He is a teacher too. So I met him at carpool when I was dropping off my friend's kids. And he was like, hey, do you want to work in education? And I was like, yes. So then I did my certifications to teaching Spanish. And then I did my certification to teach physical and health education. And I've been working at that school for like 4 years now. I start in primary and now I'm just in middle school. I teach seventh grade, physical education and science. So I'm with the teenagers. So that's like my professional life. How I got into bodybuilding, and feel free to stop me and ask me any question whenever you feel like. How I got into bodybuilding. So I started bodybuilding in 2020, right when the pandemic hit. So my cousin back in Dominican Republic, he competes in the other federation. So whenever I used to go back and visit home, he always used to tell me, "Oh my God, you're so ready. We just need to get the water out of your body and you will be ready for stage." Because I've been always active at the gym. And the reason why I was so into fitness is because I always wanted to be an athlete and I didn't get to do any type of sports when I was in school. So I had like that little underline, like, yeah, I want to be an athlete, but I'm too old for that now. So I saw him compete one time and his girlfriend from the gym also competed. And when I saw her on stage, I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. Like, I was just mind blown by like how beautiful she looked up there, because I felt like, no, I don't want to look that muscular. I don't want to look like a man. Like always, that's what we always say, right? Like, ah, I don't want to look like a man. Mind you, it would be impossible for a female to look like a man. So then I was like, okay, I want to do this. And I started doing an off season. And the person that I was, that was my coach at that point, he told me like, okay, you're too skinny at the moment. You need to build some muscle. You need to build foundation. So then we can start a prep. And I was like, okay, cool. I can do that. At that point, he gave me no guidance of how to do an improvement season. So I was just following my fitness goal. And you put there, oh, you want to gain 1 pound a week. And I was like, this is crazy. This is too much food. I'm gaining a lot of fat. I never been this heavy in my life. And then December 2019, that's when we decided, okay, we're going to start prep in January for May. And boom, the pandemic happened. I still went through the whole process at home and I did my prep. I did my cardio in a bag and I was doing my little workouts at home. And May got here and we didn't even do a peak week or anything like that. He just wanted to see how I would look like if it was, you know, show day. And at that point, I look phenomenal. But looking back at it, I look horrible. I mean, not horrible, but you know what I mean. Like, it's a different federation, different category and requirements. So my body, I wasn't happy with it. So then I was like, okay, so what's next? I mean, things are opening up, the gym is opening up, and he ghosted me completely. And I told the girl that I was inspired by that he was also her coach. I was like, hey, if I didn't have the knowledge that I have in nutrition, I would be like 50 pounds overweight at this point. He gave me no plan, like nothing, no cardio protocol, no going back to baseline, nothing. I was just doing my reverse by myself. At that point, I was really into Angelica Teixeira. So I was watching her YouTube all the time. And she always talked about like how she gained 20 pounds in 2 weeks. And that was like really, really hard for her emotionally and like to get rid of those extra pounds. And YouTube was my guidance for that reverse dieting. After that, in 2020, I decided that I wanted to do this for real because I really loved it and I loved the challenge. I contacted Paul Rebellia, but he wasn't available. So he gave me somebody else as a coach and I prep with her and I compete in the Lee Hannings game in Atlanta, where I took first novice and third in open. And I was like, wow, I really like this. Like, I love how I felt on stage. Until today, like, that's been the feeling, not that I chase, but that I always have back in my head whenever I'm prepping, because I'm like, I love how I felt up there. So after that, I went to Texas, and I did the Texas Cup in December. So I did the one in Atlanta in November, and then I did the Texas Cup in December, and I took first in my class, and I got second in the overall. In 2021, I took the whole year off. I was like, no, that girl that beat me, like, she had a phenomenal physique. And in my eyes, I was very, very conscious and aware, like, very realistic. I don't have the muscle that it takes to go to nationals. So I really need to take some time to lift and eat properly with guidance. So that's what I did. Whole 2021, I took the whole year off. I put on some size, and then I prepped in 2022. And I did, what was the name of that show? It's in Atlanta too. I forgot the name. Oh my God. Atlanta Allstate.
Okay. Yeah.
And I took first, and I took the overall at that show. And I was like, okay, am I ready to go to nationals? Still, I feel like, no, I'm not ready. Let me just keep lifting and you know, trying to build as much as I can. And maybe I will go. So I remember Sydney doing a live on Instagram, and I asked Sandy a question. I was like, I done three shows, and I took first in three of the shows, first in novice, and then second show I took first open, and then first in the overall. Am I ready for nationals? And she replied to me, girl, are you crazy? Yes, you are. And I'm like, I don't know. So I had other, I changed coaches. I didn't like where my coach was taking me with some of the things. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not ready for that. And I knew, and when I'm talking about, like, I'm not ready for that, I'm talking about PEDs and all of this stuff, right? And I was like, no, because I still know, I know deep down that I can give more. I can reach my natural potential. I just need more guidance when it comes to my training protocols, because I was doing my own training, and that coach at that moment was just giving me my macros, and that was it. And I spent a whole year with a person. Oh yeah, you look fine. Oh yeah, you look fine. Let's add 10 grams of carbs here. But I was like, no, I know that I can do this, but I just need somebody to actually really push me. Got a new coach, and I was like, okay, we can go to national. Just let's see where you land. I went to junior nationals, and I got second call out, and I placed 9th out of 21 girls. And I was like, wow. Like, that was one of my favorite shows. It was amazing being up there with Sandy, Atila, as, you know, judging. I was like, I never imagined that they will be judging me this early into bodybuilding. Got the feedback from them. Atila told me, you just need tighter glutes. Sandy was the same thing. Tighter glutes, you know, maybe a little bit more lats to create a bigger B shape. But besides that, you don't need a super long off season. I was like, okay, cool. We got into that short off season. And that's when I met you at nationals, and I got there at nationals. And I was happy that I got to lose to the overall girl for nationals. Like, to me, it was the most mind-blowing thing. You looked phenomenal. Your glutes, your shape. My coach was like, that girl doesn't have a waist. Like, her waist, it's gone. And it was great. I mean, I have never felt like when I placed 9th or when I placed 3rd, I never felt like, oh my God, no, never. I was just excited, even more excited. Like, from losing, you learn more than winning most of the time. And I think for doing like 3 regional in 2 national shows, I've been doing great so far. So I have nothing to complain about, like nothing at all. And yeah, that's my journey into bodybuilding. I was just a fitness enthusiast that fell in love with a girl when I saw her on stage. And here we are.
That's amazing.
It was a lot to start with.
I know. I was like, we got so many rabbit holes to go down. But I mean, thank you for the kind words. But I mean, you definitely held your own up there. I thought you looked amazing. I told Steph. Steph will tell the story all the time. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I got like third place or something, because I thought it was you and I think her name is Madeline, the other girl in blue, and. I definitely thought you had it for sure. Like, you looked amazing.
No, when I look at the videos, going back to my hotel, and I was like, yeah, I definitely got third. And this girl better win the overall. that's what I told my coach and my sister and my boyfriend. Like, yeah, she better win because she looked freaking phenomenal. And you went up there, you did your thing, and you got the overall. And it was amazing.
Thank you.
You guys are so going back and forth.
Right. I can't wait to see when you get back on stage, though, for real, for real. I said that to a couple of girls, and you were definitely one of them. So
I do want to just talk about that young lady you were talking about that first started off that journey. You said in 2020, right? That was your first time gracing the stage?
Yes.
Well, I saw that young lady and I clicked follow right away on that young lady because to me, you looked amazing. So what you were seeing at that time, I'm looking at you as just a beginner and I'm like, wow. So you were inspiring at that time and didn't even know it, even though you weren't where you are now. But even so, like me looking at you and following your journey to now, I've seen that progression. And girl, you're killing it. You look amazing. It's coming.
Yeah, thank you.
But I do want, you know, we're all very critical of ourselves. Yes. So that person that you're talking about back then, she was killing it, especially at the start of her journey. With not the full guidance that you probably have now and as much as you know now, like you did a great job. And
thank
someone
you.
Like me, and I'm sure many other people saw you and thought the same thing. So kudos to you, girl.
I appreciate it. Yeah, because we are extremely critical of ourselves and we don't give us like enough grace. Even as little as like yesterday when I was watching the New Year Pro, I was telling one of my teammates, like, hey, because I'm planning starting prep in 3 months. I'm like, if those 3 months pass and I feel like I'm not ready, I'm not going to prep. I'm going to take the whole year off again. Even though Sandy told me, like, you just need tighter glutes. That's it. You don't need to take a whole year off. You don't need 25 pounds extra. Like, don't do that to your body. You know, stay relatively lean in your improvement season. And work hard on your glutes. But it's intimidating, you know? I mean, B, like, I don't know how you feel prepping, but I'm not where you're at, and I'm already intimidated. And it's like, I don't know. If I'm not ready, if I feel like I'm not ready, I'm not gonna do it. But at the same time, it's like, if I don't do it, how would I know if I'm ready or not?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what I would say. But I had the same conversation with my coach like last week. I was like, crap, we're like 7, 8 weeks out, which I haven't even been counting the time because where has that gone? And I was like, you know, all these shows are starting and Amy's winning every single one. And I'm looking at them and I'm looking at my check-in pictures like I'm kind of small. Like, are you sure we're doing the shows that we're doing? And she's like, focus, stay in your own lane. And do what you have to do. You have a good package. You're not gonna know where you stack if you don't get up there, you know? So it's the same for you. You looked great at Nationals. So, and I saw the picture, I think you had posted, I don't know if it was the same year, but I feel like you had posted a picture at the beginning of the year and a picture at Nationals. And that was like a whole 180. Like you looked amazing. I was like, that is a crazy transformation from like, I don't know if it was like January, February, or whatever to December. So, don't count yourself out, don't sell yourself short. Obviously, growing glutes or getting them bigger is not necessarily easy, but that's what we have warm-up shows for. So don't count yourself out. You were top three at nationals, one of the biggest national shows. Don't count yourself out. You're more ready than you think.
Yeah, whenever I get those thoughts and I know you are doing everything that you can, and it is just a matter of time. And the people that have been competing and winning, those are girls that have been doing this for a very long time, and at the same time, it's crazy because I remember when I saw Etila for the first time and I saw Lara Lee, I was like, they look bigger on Instagram.
Yes,
And
they do.
my friend, like, she was in the Neo Pro, she was texting me like, oh my God, who was it that she told me that was so tiny? I think it was Jessica Wilson. By the way, phenomenal episode with her. I love her energy. And she's like, oh my God, she's so tiny. I'm like, yes, all of them are very tiny. They just look a lot bigger on stage because you have all the lights and most of the time you're not on the show, you're watching it, live, and it's completely different. I'm like, it's just like, I just don't understand how their glutes look like that on stage. I'm like, it's the posing, it's the posing. Yes, they do have a lot of muscle maturity, but at the end of the day, it's completely different, like from what you look in the day to day to what you look on stage.
Yeah, and Jessica, we've all seen her in person. She is a little, little. But yes, don't count yourself out. Please, please don't do that.
I want.
I'm just taking in all this motivation because, I mean, here we have you as a pro, and here we have Francina's and Steph who stepped on national stage, and I'm behind you guys, and I'm nervous just to get on national stage. So I'm over here just like taking in everything you guys say and also reminding myself, not to count myself out. But that's really good advice that we already dropped at the beginning without even really knowing it.
Yeah, absolutely. You gotta see where you land.
But yes, you've given us a lot to start with. Now, I don't have my notebooks, so I didn't write them all down. But how about you swing back? Hey, buddy. Hey, how about say hello to everyone? Okay. How about we swing back to the beginning? With your transition here to the US, you said you came at 17. So, how did that come about? Why was there a transition to the US?
So it was my dad. So my dad's been living here for over 30 years, and he always wanted to like give us a better life. So when he made the decision, okay, I'm gonna do the process of the paperwork so you guys can come and live with me, I didn't want to move to the US at all. Like, I've never been here, but I didn't want to. Because something told me it's different. Of course, it's in your country and everything. But as a teenager, I was like, I don't know. I don't like everybody around me wanted to come to the US for a better life, better opportunities. But I wasn't into it. I wasn't sold by it. And I told him, can I just come and visit and stay with my grandma? Because my mom at that age, my mom, she moved to Spain. So I don't know if they're ever gonna hear this, but I feel like my mom living to Spain and my dad bringing us to the US, it was kind of like a revenge type of thing coming from him. Like, oh, I want them with me so they can go with you. So when they were going through divorce, that's as it, until now, like I still think that was his thinking behind it. Because my mom left to Spain. She always wanted to come to the US. She never got to come to the US. And she moved to Spain and left us with my grandma and was doing the process to bring me and my two other sisters to Spain. But my dad speed up the process, like, no, I'm taking them. So that's how that became about. to be honest with you. And of course, like, he wanted us to have better life, better education, and all of that.
First of all, wow, Spain. Right? Like, what would I choose? U.S., Spain. Yeah. But you might not know this, but myself, I'm from Guyana, and so is Stephanie. I came here at 5. And Stephanie, how old were you?
11.
7. Oh, 11?
11.
Mm-hmm. 11. Yeah. So we've all kind of heard that, you know, come into the U.S. for, you know, a better life. So I get it. My dad brought me here and my mom eventually. So I totally understand that aspect, but both ways. You know, it sucked that it had to be in that manner where it seemed more like a battle. But So with your transition, how did you feel when you really got here? Like, even now, I should say, how did you feel? Do you think that you still would have wanted to stay? Or
that's a question that I always ask myself, like, what would my life look like if I stayed in Dominican Republic? When I still feel like an outsider for some reason, because we don't have family here. Like, my dad is in New York and it's just me and my sisters here. So we don't do much. We just work and go to the gym. The gym is my thing. They all know it. But I still feel like in Atlanta, I still feel new. And I've been here for over 4 years now. But in the U.S., it's weird because when I go back home, I'm like, I'm not home. Because I left at 17. Everybody move on with their life. So it's like, I don't belong there anymore. And I'm still trying to find my place here. So it's very it's a contradiction, you know, because I left Dominican Republic. And it's like when you leave that, in my case, Dominican Republic, like you think you left and that when you go back, everybody's still at where you left at. And that's not the case. I barely have any friends. I have big family over there and love them to death. And we all get together, have really good time. But it's like, yeah, I don't think I can move back unless I'm a millionaire, of course. That would be a whole different story, you know? But here in the U.S., it was very hard. I felt like an outsider. And then, you know, having to learn English, but also like learning how to live with my dad and my younger sister. My older sister, she stayed here for like a year. She was in medical school in Dominican Republic already. So she came here, she was like, I don't like it. These people are telling me that I need to do 2 years of English and then do all this process to go back to medical school. She was like, no, I'm going back. So she left New York and left me and my younger sister. So I'm battling, I'm 17, trying to learn how to live with my dad, trying to learn a new language and trying to navigate New York. Big place, people from all over the place, right? Not liking the food, not liking how, like, going outside feeling dirty. And then my sister, my younger sister, she was, I think she was 12. So me also trying to help her navigate her emotions because she felt like my mom left us. And then she was really, really close to my older sister. And my older sister leaving, she felt like two people left her. And she has still have that like abandonment trauma. So I had to grow up like fast. By 18, I was working in a supermarket, trying to make money, trying to get into college. If there was nothing that I was sure of, going to college was the only thing that I was sure of. I was like, no, I need to get my education. That's why I came to this country. I need to learn this language. So going to college, working in a supermarket, it was a lot. And trying to help my sister because she started here in middle school. So she did all her middle school and high school years in the U.S. In New York, very dangerous place. and my dad working at nighttime, and he's sleeping during the day. We're at school during the day. And then she's having, you know, friends and influences and the hookah parties and the coding classes. He goes like, no, Francenis, you need to forget about if you're mad, if you are sad, you need to make sure that your sister stay on the right path. So it was a lot. Even like talking to you guys now, like it's something that we don't really talk about, me and my sister that often. But talking to you guys now, it feels like good, like a relief somehow. But it was a lot. It was tough. You know, 18 years old, like trying to take care of an 11-year-old in her emotions. It was tough.
Yeah, and also battling everything else, you know, the culture shock in itself is big by itself, the language barrier. I mean, I'm sure, like, how many friends did you even get a chance to make because you were so zoned in and focused on, you know, just life, figuring it all out super early? That is definitely a challenge in itself. I don't know, Steph, like, because you came here a bit older than I did, so I'm wondering, like, how much can you relate to what she's sharing?
I think it was a little bit easier because my mom had put her foot down, and the plan was for my mom to come, but she was like, if my husband and my kids aren't going, I'm not going. So it's either we all go or nobody goes.
Yeah.
But even when we did get here, it definitely was very different. Because we came February, and it was cold.
Oh, the weather, the other culture shock.
Yes, and never experienced the cold before. Got frostbite on my hands. I hated the cold weather. Hated it with a passion. I was like, I want to go home. I don't want to stay here. But yeah, it was definitely a transition.
We came in November, so we came at a time where it was cold in New York, and in the almost the middle of the school year. So imagine me coming as a senior in freaking November, and the teachers looking at me like, I remember like it was yesterday. This history teacher, when I came into the classroom, she was like, oh my God, I don't understand why they keep accepting students, and even when they don't know English. That broke my heart. That I was, oh my God, I was like, wow. I just gave her my paper and I sat down. I became so shy. I was a very outgoing person. In that process, with all the teachers, the way they treated me, and not just me, like a lot of other students, like Chinese, you know, from everywhere, that was their perception, and that was their attitude toward those students that didn't know the language at the time. And I feel like looking back at it, like I closed down a lot from like talking to people or participating in class because one, I didn't know English. Two, whenever I said something in English, I had an accent and people will like laugh or correct me, not in the best way possible. So yeah, in New York, November, freezing cold, like going to school with snow all the way above your knees because it doesn't stop. It's not like here in Atlanta that, oh, we may have 2 inches of snow and
everything down.
Right. We sleet on the ground and they shut the whole state down.
Yeah. So it was, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how I did it. Because then when I went to the community college, because that's what I went to first, it was even worse. When I went to admissions and I couldn't communicate to them what I was there, but my grades were good. I went with a friend and I remember the guy telling her, are you sure she's supposed to be here? Because she doesn't understand what I'm saying to her. And all I would point out was like, are my grades? Like, these are my grades. I'm qualified as a student to come and join this community college. So I did accounting and business in that community college. And I did 2 years. I graduated with that. and the teacher were horrible. Like, imagine, like, New Yorkers are very straightforward, very rough on the edges. So 19 years old in a community college trying to learn English, but not really, because I am in the regular classes like everybody else. Teachers, they have no compassion. And I will try to use that card as like, oh, can I have an extension? You know, I'm just learning now. They wouldn't care. They wouldn't care. So that was the other one too. Like, it was tough.
That's really interesting. And you know, the one thing that has always stood out to me since you and I connected was just your, what appears to me is like your mindset and your maturity. And you've already mentioned that you had to grow up really quickly with all of these transitions and basically in a way mothering your sister, and then having to navigate just this world of people who don't understand you, and you kind of sort of but don't really understand them. How did you cope at that time? Because I know you said you would have feelings, but then you would kind of push them away because you cared about your sister and you need to get her straight. But as you're going through this transition and now you're off to college and all of those things, how did you cope? How did you obtain the mindset that you have now, or at least the one that I've seen from you?
I would say writing and talking to God. I don't identify with any religion, even though I was baptized and I grew up in a very religious family. But I think my spiritual relationship with God and writing in a nighttime, I was just write everything that was in my mind. I was very angry. If I'm being honest, I was angry at my mom. But then seeing my sister so angry at my mom left me, my sister left me, I had to put my anger aside. I was like, hey, you can't be angry right now because this girl, you need to help her. So I remember a friend of my family, an older lady, she gave me a Bible to take with me to the US. I still have that. It's a very tiny, small Bible. It's almost in pieces because it's so old. And I used to just like read and highlight things and write about it and talk to God and try to like really listen to God and trying to tell myself, everything is going to be fine. It is hard now, but it's okay. You can cry, but don't let your sister see you crying because she's looking up to you and she has nobody else here. So that was my way of coping, just writing and shutting down my emotions. To the point that I wasn't into boys, I wasn't into fashion, I wasn't into any of the things that normal, you know, a normal girl my age at that point was into, because I was like, I need to stay in my line. I need to help my sister. I took that so personal. Like, I need to make sure that she grows up and doesn't get pregnant and doesn't get into drugs, because I was living in the projects in New York. If anybody listening and know where Far Rockaway is in Queens, they would know, holy cow, and how you guys like came, like left that place without a baby, without getting into any type sort of addiction. Because when I'm telling you that place was bad, it was bad. Like shooting in the middle of the night and you jumping from bed to the ground to make sure you don't get shot. That's how it was.
Wow.
That's how it was. So I knew that I needed to do better because I wanted better, not just for me, but also for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is.
A lot to process in like a short few years. Like, wow. Yeah. I have to recollect.
So did the high school never offer ESL, English as a Second Language?
Yes, but remember that I was in my last year of high school.
It wasn't so very helpful.
I had some classes in English and I had some classes in Spanish. Like, for example, my history class was in Spanish, but the tests, they were not. The readings were not in Spanish. It was all in English, but the teacher will explain things in Spanish and talk about the history in Spanish. My environmental class was in English. So I only had that class, history, and what was the other class? It was a Spanish class that it was all in Spanish, but it was to give you credits for college. So we had the program, but I was already in my senior year. So it was like, no, I had to do it. I really need to grind. I had to grind really, really hard to take the regions. They don't have those anymore, I think. But I had to take the math, the English, the history, and what else? Math, English, history. And those are not the one at that point that to get out of high school, you had to take, it didn't matter if you passed all your classes. So I had to study really hard for the regions because I needed to pass them. Because I was like, I can repeat senior year. Which maybe will be a good thing, you know, doing the whole year again and learning the English before going to college. But I was like, no, I need to pass this. And it was really frustrating and heartbreaking. I was a really good student. I still graduated with honors from that last year and everything. But the fact that it didn't matter if I was good in math. I was really good in math. It didn't matter if I was good in math or science or any other subject, because at the end of the day, I can't read it, you know? So it was really frustrating. Like, I know this, but I can't comprehend what they're saying. So they will look at my grades. Like, when I came, they look at my grades and they gave me a lot of credits for all of the classes that I took before. But I was like, it doesn't matter. And then in college, I felt like a failure when I did the community college because I couldn't understand. You know, in my country, we have what you call the last 2 years you do like, it's like technical. They call it in Spanish technical. I don't know how you say that in English. But it's like all business and accounting and all numbers. So it's more like business inclined program the last 2 years for your high school. And that's what I was into, right? And then I continue in college with business and accounting, but I did horrible. Like, I passed my classes and I graduated, but I did horrible because I couldn't understand anything. And people be like, well, why you didn't go and study English for 2 years? I was like, no, because it's going to put me behind. And I want to graduate. I want to do well. But it was like very contradiction, a lot of contradictions. It was either, hey, take 2 years off and do English and math in English, or go to college and figure it out and struggle. And even the supplemental classes or support in college wasn't enough, because the supplemental, the support that you get in college, it's students that are doing that. You know, it's not someone that's qualified, and they get overly frustrated when you don't understand, or when they ask you to write your essay 5 times and you still get it wrong. And it was just like, yes, you have a lot of opportunities in the US, but you have to work really freaking hard to catch up. So...
That is a bar. And it gives perspective too for, you know, people like me who grew up here. Well, I wasn't born in the States, but I'm military, but I grew up here. So I don't understand it the way you all do in terms of transitioning and having to work at something just to be decent at something, just to get an education and all of that stuff. So I definitely appreciate you sharing that perspective with us, with people like me who haven't had to have that experience. So I still think it's really amazing that you went through all of that and you still graduated with honors and you still came out with your college degrees and all of the things. So with that, you went from, you said you did business and accounting, you are now teaching science and health and physical education. How did that transition take place? When did you decide you wanted to teach?
I didn't know I wanted to teach. excuse me, I'm getting rid of a call. So when I moved to Atlanta, I continued with business. But I was like, I don't see myself working in an office or working for somebody. I want to be a businesswoman, yes. But it was boring to me. It was very boring. And that's when I got into fitness and working out and going to the gym at college, at Georgia State at that point. And then I found out that you can go to school for health, for nutrition. And the program was very, very new at Georgia State at that point. And when I went to talk to a counselor, she wanted me to do food science instead of nutrition. But I was like, no, I like to cook, but that's not what I want to do. I want to do nutrition and health. And she was like, okay, you can do it. And I changed major right away. It wasn't even a question. So I changed majors. And I got into nutrition. I was doing all my anatomy classes and physiology. It was really hard. Trust me. Like at this point, so I got out of the community college when I was 21, I would say. And this is like at 22, 23. So it's still very hard for me to learn anatomy and physiology in English, because the things that I'm learning now are things that are new to me, but I don't know them in Spanish, so I can make the connection. So
well, I speak English and it was still hard.
Sorry. So it's hard. Science is hard, right? So like, for example, my anatomy class, I had to take it twice. First time I failed. Because it was anatomy and physiology with the lab. So it was tough. I'm like, why can't they just have this thing separate? Like, give me the lab in one semester, or give me the anatomy in one semester, and the second semester, give me the physiology. No, it was the three things in one semester. It was like no option. Like, that's how it comes. So that was hard too. I'm not gonna lie. It was hard. What was the question again? Oh, how I got into teaching. So the person that gave me the job into real estate when I was a leasing agent, I was helping them out around the house, like with babysitting. They have two kids. So I used to drop them off or pick them up from school. And I got really intrigued by that school because it's an international school with the IB profile. So it's like, what is that? Like, what is that about? And I was like, I want to know more about this school. So when I learned the way they teach internationally with the IB, which is the international, but I don't know how to say the word. It's a very long word, but I don't know how to say it. I'm going to keep it with the IB. I was like, okay, this is very different. It's very different from what public school does here in the US. It's very different from the traditional education that I known and that I went through. And I started sobbing. I was going to school and I was like, okay, I need to make more money. And I started sobbing at that school in Spanish. That's when I got my certification. And then being in there and like seeing things, I'm like, okay, I think I can do this. I think I can work with kids. So then I did my certificate. When I finished college, I did my certification to teach physical and health education. And I got into coaching sports at the same school. And out of nowhere, I just found myself teaching. honestly, things just align. Like, it's funny because when they say something is for you, something is for you. When I was younger, I used to say, like, me being a teacher, you crazy. Because I was a student, and I know how much of a headache students are for teachers, right? But no, I just fell in love. I connect with the kids really well, and I like what I was doing as a sub whenever they call me in. I was like, I think I can do this. So I did all my certification, everything that I needed to do. And when I saw the opportunity, I applied. I coached there. I coached cross country and track and field. And I'm the head coach for strength training and conditioning for the athlete at school. So now is I'm just with teenagers all day long from 7:30 to 7:30 p.m. And yeah, it's a beautiful thing that I'm doing. I found it like it's very beautiful. You know, I connect with the kids. I teach them about health and physical activity and science. And I don't know, it's funny. It's funny because I never saw myself teaching or around kids. I don't have kids, and I say that I don't want kids. But I'm still relatively young, so maybe that will change with time. But I feel like they are my kids. You know, I'm with them all day long. So, yeah, I started as a sub, and then I did all my certification and found myself teaching.
I love how your passion for it grew along the way as you transitioned through each phase of it. And to be honest, you make me like think about it and miss it, those 12 hours that you actually do spend with them, from teaching them to coaching them. They really, really, really do become your kids indeed. So I love that energy, and I love like your smile when you talk about it. You know, it's just,
yeah, like, because I find it very, I don't know, like bizarre, like how I'm here. I'm teaching kids, they rely on me, they look up to me, they're learning from me. I'm an example to them. And I feel like that is, you know, amazing. Because they are there. They spend more time with us, especially the athletes ones. They spend more time with us than what they spend at home.
Yeah.
You know, come to you with their problems and their curiosity and their funny ways to see life and how they think they know it all. And I love being part of their life. Yeah. You know, I know they're going to grow up and they will probably won't remember me when they, you know, are adults.
You never know.
I never know. I'm still checking never on know. Some of them. So
you never know who you impact. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. You're pulling at my heartstrings a little bit because you're making me miss my kids. I'm going to get off here and probably hit up one or two of my volleyball players like, how you doing? But just curious, like, you know, with the teaching aspect and now you're with high schoolers and coaching them, how much of your bodybuilding journey has been playing a part in their life as well?
Yeah, I mean, they don't know that I do.
Oh, they don't know.
That's going to be my question.
Mine too.
Just like the really close one to me. Okay. For example, some of my track athletes that they're actually seniors, they know. And I found out like that they follow me. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm like, did they find out from you or did they discover?
Discover. Some of them, because they're always very curious about, like, I teach seventh grade, and they'd be like, I'm sorry, guys. Okay. And they'd be like, oh my God, how you always look so good. How your legs are always so defined. I want to look like you when I grow up. So I try to be very careful with what I tell them, because especially the girls, I don't want them to start associating, because I already have some that they eat very little because they want to be thin. You know, they still have that culture of the skinnier you are, the better you look. And with me, they think that's how it is. I'm like, no, I eat a lot and I train really hard. That's why I look like this, because I eat, I try to emphasize that. I eat a lot. I don't tell them much about like the prep phase and the things that we go through, because they're still 13 and they're growing up and they're already having issues with their eating habits. But like the older ones, like seniors or the 11th graders, you know, that they put two and two together, I'd be like, yes, I'm an athlete. And they're like, what type of athlete? Power lifter? Like, no, I do bikini bodybuilding. And they're like, why, you step on the stage in a bikini? I'm like, yeah, I do, but I live very heavy and I train hard and I'm very disciplined and I eat well and I sleep well and I don't drink. And they be like, oh, okay. So they get even more curious about it. So yeah, not a lot of them know, because I don't want them following. I don't want administration on my business to be like, hey, this can happen or you can do this. But yeah, they are very flexible. The reason why I like being in the field is because when I become a pro, I know I'm going to have the flexibility of taking my days off and going to shows and the traveling. I mean, I don't know how far I'm going to take this bodybuilding career, because I really want to make it a career. But when I think about, will you give up teaching and coaching for bodybuilding and just be a full-time bodybuilder? I'm like, I don't know. Because when I'm off for a week, I'd be going home crazy. I like my structure. I like my routine. And being in the field, it gives me that. So yeah.
That's awesome. I love that you work with young girls all the way up to seniors, because we know, all of us as people that are just in the physical fitness industry in some way, that young girls start dieting and, you know, having those body image issues super young, like 14 and younger. They're already exposed to dieting and, you know, being thin and all the things. So to have you as that role model to say, yes, I may have this physique, but I got it from doing all of the things that are opposite of what you know to be true to get there. And so I love that you are in that position to be able to reach those girls early. And
yeah, it's really sad. I have girls that they are in the salad situation. That's what I call it. That all they want to have for lunch is a salad. All they want to have for dinner is a salad. And when they bring that to me, I'm like, no, I may eat a salad with my meals, but I eat, you know, whole foods. Salad is just a complimentary, is complimentary to your actual meal. Like, I have breakfast every day. I have lunch. Like, I know everything I'm eating the day. And I eat my fruits and my nuts and my healthy fats. It's not just a salad with grilled chicken, because that's what they think. Salad, grilled chicken, water, and gum. And I'm talking about girls that are 13. You know, girls, some of them at the very beginning of the year, they're still 12. Because they're like from sixth grade to seventh grade. And somehow I want to find a way to be able to have some sort of like club or program at school where I can teach even the one that I don't teach, that they can come and learn about health and nutrition more in depth, because that's the problem that we see on campus. And it's scary. It's very scary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially in the growth phase that they're at.
You're on mute,
Yolanda.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're okay now.
No, I would say, like, even off side of this, I would love to brainstorm with you. One of the things I'm missing is that aspect, knowing so much more of how I know now, much more of what I know now, with getting into this sport, I'm thinking like, wow, how much more of an impact I would have made on my students when I was in school. And part of that is one of the things that always sits in back of my mind, especially with my athletes. Wait, pause. I did a good job. But I'm thinking how much better I could have been. And any way or role I could play in that, I don't care if it's from outside, I would love to brainstorm like organizations or groups or whatever it is you want to think of to help support those young girls, especially and the males too. You never know who's going to turn up.
Yes, them too. Because it's like there is no balance or in between. It's an extreme. The girls, they don't eat, but then the boys, they just eat. Rash. These are athletes with so much potential that you know they can be so good at what they do, even if it's basketball or track and field, but they eat so bad and they don't have the knowledge of how their body functions that their recovery is trash. Mm-hmm. They get injured all the time. And I do the weight training with them and they're doing a really good job at it now, but still the nutrition part with them is like, both of them, it's a challenge. Boys, they all want to eat McDonald's and fried foods. And the girls, they're like, nope, just give me gum. I had a girl one time in our nutrition unit. So I was doing this thing about like, they had to do like a food diary, right? Why had the previous, it was like 48 hours or 24 hours. And I was like, okay, you need to rate yourself from 1 to 10 based on how you feel like what your eating looks like. I had a girl that told me that, well, maybe a 0. I was like, why? She's like, because all I had was gum. I'm like, what do you mean all you had is gum? She's like, yeah, because I don't want to eat. I don't want to gain weight. So all I've been eating is gum. And I was like, oh my God, what can I do to help her understand? Because then, you know, as a teacher, there is just so much that we can do and talk about because it becomes a counselor problem, you know? There are so many things that I would love to do, but they hold, you know, help me back because we have to work with the counselors and they don't really want to get into all of that, which is really sad because these students are our kids. They are there all day long. I think we should be more involved in their decision making and teaching them like deeper about life and not just like, your assignment, this is what we're teaching, and that is it.
Absolutely. Especially with knowing that nutrition plays a huge role in just performance in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild that happened. Hopefully yeah. You guys, you know, are able to circumvent that, though.
Yeah, and now that we're talking about nutrition, this is, I forgot to mention it, and this is the first time that I'm going to actually open up about it. I was vegan and I was vegan for 8 years. So my first years of bodybuilding, I did it as a vegan. And last year, it's about to be almost a year because it was in July. That's when I did the transition to start eating meat. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something, I don't know if any of you are vegetarian or not, but I think that played a huge, huge part on my quote-unquote short progress from maybe like 2021 to now 2023. I just wanted to, if you guys have any questions, because I still feel very, very shy to post about my foods now and how my nutrition looks like, because I feel like people are going to judge me, especially if I have like vegan people that follow me or they started following me because I was vegan and a bodybuilder. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because I know how harsh the vegan community can be. And I'm like, sometimes I want to post so much about it, but I just feel like, I don't know.
But there may be people out there like you who are looking to transition, you know, yeah. And for one reason or another, and you could be that voice. So never mind the vegans or the carnivores, like, let's talk about what had you transition in the first place.
into veganism or back to
back to or whatever, you know, the girls have questions on too.
I was just gonna make a comment. I thought that was great because never really do we hear about the aspect of someone being vegan transitioning back, you know, to, I'm like, what do we call it? Meat eater? I don't know. I'm like, right.
Or how my friend called it, back to being normal.
I don't know if there is a normal though, so I won't take that one. But yeah, the transition back. So this is a whole new story to unfold. And I totally understand the aspect of being shy and holding off from it. But when that time comes, I hope that you are able to share it beyond this, because yeah, it might help somebody else, just like Brandon said. And your journey is your own.
Yeah.
You know? No one else's. You have goals, and this is what you decided to do for you. So, I mean, I'm happy to hear about it.
So, after Junior Nationals, which is about to happen in June, right? Is it in June? So, after Junior Nationals, I start feeling different. When I was in prep for Junior Nationals, I started like having thoughts of eating meat, but very specific thoughts and craving, like salmon, fatty salmon, the egg yolk, and just like the animal fat. And I'll always brush off the thought of it because I was vegan. I was like, oh my God, I've been vegan for 8 years. And that's stupid. Like, no, that's just a thought. And those thoughts became louder and louder and louder to the point that I was being unhappy. I have never let a situation like compromise my mental health. And this was compromising my mental health. I was very unhappy. I felt very disconnected with my foods. And I'm always being very connected. Like eating for me is... it's something special because I know what I'm putting in my body is either going to help me or not. So I was talking to my sister about it, and it's just like, no, oh my God, you know, she was vegan with me, but whenever she would go out with her friends or back to the Dominican Republic, she would eat whatever she wanted to eat. Right. But she knew how important this was to me. So she tried to help me be like, no, maybe it's just a phase, maybe it's just a challenge. Do your labs, maybe you are lacking something, and let's make sure that nothing is off. And I did my labs after my Junior National competition, and everything was fine. Actually, my B12 was a little high. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna wait and see what happens. But then the craving became stronger and stronger and stronger. So that year in July, I went to Spain, to San Sebastian with my soccer team for a soccer camp in Spain. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. I was very, very unhappy to the point that I was crying. And I was like, no, this is getting out of control when it comes to my mental health. So I talked to my older sister about it, because deep down I knew what I had to do, but I was looking for that confirmation from other people. And she told me, like, listen, one of the reasons why I admire you is because you have always listened to your body. And this time I'm going to advise you to do so. And something, after I talked to her and I talked to my coach, because I talked to him about it, something like whispered in my ear, like, this is your body letting you know before something else happened. So I was vegan for 8 years. I always felt normal because I did my research, like, what do I need to do? And I studied nutrition. So I was very aware of how to pair my meals so I can have complete proteins and all the vitamins and minerals that I was lacking from my diet. I was supplementing with B12 and vegan omegas and everything. So when I ate meat, It was in Spain, actually. I felt like my soul came back to my body. I thought I was going to get sick, that I was going to have a stomachache, that I was going to throw up, that I was going to have diarrhea. No, I did not. When I had eggs and I had a burger, I just did that and I felt happy. That week in Spain, all I ate was meat for lunch and dinner, and I felt good. So I had a situation where I was sweating at nighttime. I was always sweating. I had to change my clothes. I went to the doctor for it. They never could figure out why I was sweating so much, because they did testing for all type of weird disease and cancer and all of that. And when I started eating meat, that stopped completely. Completely. In 2 weeks, I wasn't sweating and my temperature was back to normal at nighttime. And after that, my strength got better. My gains got a lot better, especially my glutes. And I felt connected with the environment again, because I was feeling like I wasn't part of the environment and you know, the cycle of life. So I am happy. I'm happy again. I had nothing bad to say about, you know, a vegan diet. And if somebody come to me and ask me to help them, I will. But I will put all the cards on the table. Because as a female, we are a hormone machine. And that's how we function. And I feel like my hormones were about to start declining. And people say, oh, maybe because of bodybuilding, all of this and that. No. When I was going through the process of like, should I eat meat or not? I did my research and a lot of people had the testimony of after year 5, they saw their health start declining. So like it's year 8. Maybe this is my body ways to tell me like, hey, you need to stop now because I can get sick. And I know that I talk about like my body and me being two separate people, and that's how I feel it, because I listen to my body and I also have like my mindset. So yeah, I did it and I feel good about it. I am happy. I am proud that I listened to my body. And yeah, I mean, when I saw that my mental health was being compromised, I was like, no, I can't. Because I had never let a man compromise mental health or my family or any situation in life. And me restricting myself from what my body actually wanted and needed, I was like, no, we're not going to do that. And I still have the cravings for steak, fatty, medium rare steak. That's my favorite thing. And I know it sounds crazy, but I have, like, I still haven't satisfied that craving. And
was that your first meal? Right. I was going to say, was that your first meal? When you,
it was a burger in France. Because we went to San Sebastian, then we went to France for a day with the soccer team. And we went to a restaurant that they have like vegan options. Mind you, like they have vegan options and vegetarian. And the first thing that I had was a burger. I think it was a lamb burger. And it was amazing. And after that, like even my sleep has improved a lot. So those are the two things that I will say. My sleep in the sweating at nighttime. I don't sweat anymore.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. Good for you.
Love hearing about that. And I feel like one of the biggest messages in that right there is like making sure that we listen to our body and what it's asking for in all aspects. So.
Oh yes, our body is divine. And especially as a female, I feel like we are more, and I'm sorry, guys, but we are more special than men. Like we are more connected and in tune to nature. It's like that maternal bone that we have. So I will advise people, like, even when we are in prep, we know when to stop. We know when we can keep pushing. We know how far we can go. And I think if we always listen to that whisper, we could be better than what we are and accomplish so many things in life if we always listen. Because I feel like we always know. We always know. We always know when we can be in danger, when we walk in the room and the energy is off. Like, we always know. Our body always tells us. And I feel like if we listen more frequently to the things that our body and the energy within us whispered to us, we will be unstoppable.
I don't even know where to go from there. I just want to be unstoppable now.
Right, it's like mic drop, pin drop, all of the things. Let's circle back to bodybuilding, though, a little bit, because we know that, you know, you're still in PC. I call you a pro card hopeful at this point, so that's just my label. But you said you started, you saw another federation, and you started and you didn't necessarily like the body that you were building at the time. Was that similar to bikini? Was it different? Or what was it that you didn't like?
So I was going for the same category, bikini, but I didn't like the pose, and they are not as muscular as bikini. They are more skinny type. And I didn't like it because I was like, I want to live heavy. And to be that skinny, you have to eat so little and restrict yourself so much. And the NPC is completely different. It is feminine. It is feminine, but it's muscular at the same time. So I just didn't like it. Like, they have barely any muscle. And I am glad that, and I always say that, I'm glad the pandemic hit. Like, I didn't compete in that federation, you know? So yeah, I didn't like the way they do things, you know, it's very, and mind you, at that point, my coach, when I told him that I wanted to do, you know, shows here, because I didn't know it was two different federations. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh no, if you join this federation, you can't compete in the NPC. And if you join the NPC, you can compete in this federation. It was like, you know, the NPC is very political. You know, if you don't know people, you won't do it good. You have never seen a Dominican or a Hispanic do good in the NPC as a pro and all of that. And I, oh, I didn't know that. So I follow him, you know, and I did what he told me to do. But then I was like, no, what are you doing? You are in the U.S. They are not competitions here from the federation. You're gonna have to go and travel to Dominican Republic when you have these shows every weekend. No, like, take advantage of it. Like, you're here, you have more opportunities to go and compete and try to do better, you know, competition after competition. And that's when I decided, like, no, I don't want to look that skinny. That was my thing, like, I don't want to look that skinny. Like, barely upper body. Yes, they have definition in their glutes, but their legs are Barbie legs. And I'm like, no, I want to look at badass. Yeah. All the food, and I want to have muscles.
Nice. I love it. What's up, Yolanda?
No, I said, thank goodness the pandemic hit so that, you know, she had this time.
Yes. And yeah.
All of this realization came into play, because that would have sucked. I guess we don't have to put it out here, but I'm like, what federation is it that, you know, you can only compete there, but you can't go and move on to the NPC?
I don't know. The IFBB Elite Federation.
I know that one. That's another one. Yeah, that's another one. Have mercy. Okay.
So yeah, that one is like, they are very in shows. I think there's one show in Miami that the pros do. And they don't, and when I found out that you can go to the Olympia and that you can not even like try to work towards that goal, I was like, no. So what's the highest competition in here? Because they don't have anything else. They do like, I think it's a World Cup competition in Brazil. But that was it. And then at that point, like, I knew Angela Borges and other like big names that were in that federation. And then I saw that as soon as wellness division opened up in the NPC, they switched. I'm like, nah, what am I trying to do? I was like, no.
Nice. And so your coach ghosted you and you decided to go with somebody else, right? But you also said that you did your own reverse, just watching YouTube, watching Angelica. And did you do the same for posing as well? Like, did you find a posing coach or what? Like, what were your thoughts going into the NPC Federation?
So yes, I used to watch a lot of the competitions and I tried to mimic their posing. And after like posing in my bikini by myself, you know, just me guiding myself, I booked Nathalie Matthew, the Fit Vegan Chef, for a posing session. So I did one with her and I went into my first competition with just one session. And I did fine. I went to Texas and I did fine. And I went to junior nationals with no posing coach. And I was like, maybe I posed better because Sandy told me something about my posing. And I was like, maybe if I have better guidance, I have placed higher because I got 9th. I was like, maybe I was in that first call out, but my posing, you know, let me down. And that's when I decided, okay, for my next one, I'm booking a posing coach. And I was posing with Angeline, posing by A. And yeah, ever since I was like, no, I need a coach. I need a posing coach. Right now I don't have anybody, but as soon as I start like prep, I still pose by myself and I do my weekly check-ins for my coach or for myself. But as soon as prep start, I am booking my coach because that play a huge, huge part.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed. I'm still struggling. So I get
so
it.
Those people out there that you don't need a coach and that you can coach yourself by looking at the videos, no. Book a coach. If you guys are listening out there, like, don't do it. Book your own posing coach.
Dropping gems again.
Right. Dropping them. What else
about that? So as somebody, you said when you first came here, the food was different.
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, restrictions when you are prepping with, like, seasoning and stuff that you would typically use in off-season?
Yes, I keep it very clean, maybe a little too clean, to be honest with you. I don't use any sauces or any weird seasonings. I stay with the basics, you know, salt, black pepper, garlic, oregano, all the herbs. When I'm in my off season, I use, you know, sugar-free barbecue and like pizza seasoning and stuff like that. I still try to keep it very clean because I don't want to get used to that all the time. So the cleaner you eat, I feel like the better it will be for your prep, and it's not gonna be as hard when you know, hit the switch. So in my off season, I still keep things very clean. I still follow a meal plan. I know people have their opinions about it, but I think that's one of the things that helped me a lot. Even though when I did my first competing season and I was doing macros, I learned a lot from YouTube about like, oh no, create your meal plan, even though you have your macros, try to keep things the same. But when you have the macros, I feel like even though we know it, we're a little bit more flexible. oh, today I'm going to have this, tomorrow I'm going to have that. So yeah, I keep it very clean in the off season and in prep. I still use my sugar-free capture. It doesn't matter what. Like in prep, I have to have it. That's the only thing that I will say. And maybe a stevia for coffee. But yeah, that's about it.
Absolutely. So I know you said you feel like if you're not ready to go again this year that you won't. But let's just say you do, right? And you're on this road to pro and things of that nature. What is your road to pro mindset? I mean, I think I know based on just some of the conversations that we've had and just your captions in general. I'm always like, yes, girl, yes. But, and again, this is where I've always felt like you have this like mature mindset. But when you're on your way or you're on your road to pro, what is your mindset? How are you getting yourself mentally prepared for this next level? And I ask because I felt like I had a certain mindset going for my pro card. And I didn't really realize after the fact, you know, after you actually earn it, you know, there's this whole new phase. And I feel like in some ways, there's a whole new mindset that you have to take. And this is kind of where I am right now. I'm in this flux of where am I now, knowing that I'm like on a road to pro debut versus a road to pro, and like the determination isn't as, the fire isn't as stoked, if that makes sense. Because, you know, we're always gunning for that pro card. Maybe if I was already, you know, an Olympia hopeful, I'd be gunning for the Olympia, but I'm not there yet. And I'm finding a whole new mindset. So for you, what does that look like?
So I haven't thought about like, I mean, I have thought about like, okay, so let's say that you got your pro card. Now what? Like, talk to me. What do you have in mind? What's your plan? What's going to be your drive? So I think because my, when I went to nationals and when I went to junior nationals, the pro card wasn't in my head because I was like, maybe I'm being a little bit too unrealistic thinking that I'm going to get my pro card as, you know, like right away. So I have never had that as a goal. Yes, that is the goal, to be professional. But I had never said like in my captions, like the hashtag road to pro or none of that stuff. Because to me is the day-to-day struggle. That's what I like. And being able to say at the end of the day, I had a perfect day today. That's all that matters to me. I did everything. I had my water. I did my workout. I had all my meals and had a perfect day. That's what drives me. My routine in taking pride in doing things at 100%. If I get my pro card, I hope that I stay with the same mindset, because like how you said, as an amateur, the goal is to go pro, and that at the end of the day, I'm trying to do all the things perfect and, you know, trying to hit things 100% because I want to be the best on the stage that day and get my pro card. So going to the pro league, what excites me is like, okay, we're back to square one. We're back to the drawing board. It is a blank slate again, and we're going to paint and let's see what comes out. So I think that is what excites me. Like right now, I feel like I'm in the middle. Like I'm not a beginner like how I was in 2020, and I'm close to getting my pro card. So it's like, okay, I need to get to the last stage, that, you know, get that last step and get my pro card so I can go back to square one again. I don't know. It's weird, but that's how I feel. Like, okay, now I'm an amateur in front of these people because they've been doing this for so many years. It's time to keep grinding and doing things to the 100, like, you know, to the T. So I think that's what motivates me. The fact that I'm going to be back to square one and that I can prove myself that I can do perfect dates one at a time and one after the other.
I love that so much. Like, I don't know about y'all, but this is kind of why I like that we do this, because you just get to learn from other people. And, you know, we do this because we want to share your stories with other people. But I can't speak for everybody, but I also pick up things as well. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. Just day by day, did I do everything on my list? Right. And yes, exactly as you said, in terms of after you get the pro card, you're literally starting back over. And you're right. You are a blank slate and you get the opportunity to start all over again as if, you know. And so I definitely appreciate that perspective. Yeah.
I had something, but I'm gonna wait.
Okay. No, go ahead.
No, because I don't want to change your thought process, so go for it. I'll remember. Okay.
No, but I was gonna say that I seen, and I think it was your case at the very beginning, that you felt like you were not ready, like you were questioning yourself, like if you belong up there. And I think because you are the new pro in our circle, and I will tell you this personally, like, take fucking pride on it and prove yourself, like, I can do this. I don't care what I'm thinking about. I can do this. Because when we first started the NPC, when we were amateurs, when we first decide that we wanted to compete, we were not thinking about, do I even belong there? You just wanted to do it. You just wanted to see how far you can go. You wanted to see how much you can push your body and how much you can change your body. So take pride of that and don't think about, I don't belong here. You won the freaking overall in nationals. How are you telling me that you don't belong here? And that is something that my coach told me. Someone that wins a pro card without winning the overall still have a lot of work to do. But someone that wins a pro card and wins the overall, they're ready. They belong there. So you better believe it. And just like challenge yourself and be like, let's see if I belong or not. Let's see. Let's put in the work in and out every day and just do your thing. Like, don't be shy about it. Take pride. Yeah, people say like, oh, don't let the pro style get to your head. No, let it get to your head because you work really freaking hard for this. And you are, be humble, yes, but don't be too humble. Because I feel like when we are too humble and we just, no, I don't want to come across like I'm being, you know, extra or that I think I'm full of myself. No, we need to be a little full of ourselves. We need to, because if you think about it, like the most successful people in the world, I don't know how much you guys read, they are level assholes or who they think they are, but they are the most successful people in the world because they really, truly believe in themselves. And when you believe in yourself, you're capable of being a truth teller and telling people the truth and yourself the truth. And then you become as a fool of yourself or an asshole. No, believe it. Like, take pride of that. Like, you earn that. That's what I have to say to you.
Hold up.
Receive.
It just sent you all the heat. So you need to take that all the way into the rest of this prep.
No, but you know what? I do believe in like divine timing and stuff like that. And I know we had previously scheduled your interview and we had to reschedule it just due to scheduling conflicts. So at that particular time, I wasn't in this state of mind. You know, I was just, all right, at some point we're going to prep, but now we're here. you know, and I'm having to really dig deep in, within myself to, I think we lost her. Let me see. Her phone
might probably die.
Yeah, we'll stay on. Let me put the thing up so I know that she come in. That was a mic drop, y'all.
It was.
She got out her soapbox.
Mic drops.
Yeah.
You know. Definitely
right. She might have got a phone call too. Sometimes that'll take you out. But no, that was good. I was gonna let that lead into the final questions. Did y'all have any more?
I do have one last.
Okay.
I had another comment and a question to follow up on your question.
Okay. Because I was like, I know we get to the point of asking about the advice and stuff like that. And so I was going to be like, well,
we still recording right now, huh?
Yeah.
All right, y'all, commercial time.
Right. Who we promoting today?
Who we got? All right, so I definitely just got a global formula code. Hey, I'm over here like they like me. I don't know.
Right? Moving up in the ranks?
Yes.
Now I can get that coffee, that glutamine, put in my coffee to try.
Oh my gosh. That is a win. And they have other flavors too. So right now I'm on the blueberry cake, but that's because I'm trying not to drink too much coffee. Yes, I stopped myself 2 seconds from getting the peanut butter flavor, but man, it hits with the coffee.
Does it? I'm on decaf for now, so.
I am so sorry. I am back. My phone died.
We figured.
Yes, I'm sorry.
It's all good. I was wrapping up saying that I feel like where I am now with trying to dig deep within myself, that was a message that I needed here. And I've been getting them. I call them downloads. I've been getting them for like the past week or so. So it's just like more confirmation. So I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And I was going to say, girl, you just dropping all the raw and real and real and raw. So thank you.
Right.
For that. But in line kind of with Brandy's question, because we spoke about like the transition and the mindset to pro and how you are now with just making sure that, you know, each day you're hitting your target and hitting your goal. Love each one of it. But I have a question. And it's kind of personal because I didn't feel like I hit that stage on Battle of Texas with a winning mindset. So I just wanted to hear your feedback on that thought, because you're heading back to a national stage. And do you feel like you go onto that stage with a winning mindset?
That's a good question.
I was confident that I was bringing my best package yet to date, but I didn't have the mindset of I'm going after my pro car, I'm getting my pro car, this is mine. I didn't have that. So maybe because I knew it wasn't my moment, maybe because I want her life to surprise me, or I was being like realistic and humble. But yeah, I didn't have that feeling when you know. Mm-hmm. So when I won my other regionals, I knew it was my day. When I won that overall, I knew. And when I went to national, because remember that I got 9th at junior nationals. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go in there for more feedback and to see how I'm doing and how I'm going to compare to the national physique, you know, on stage. So I was like, okay, maybe I will get first goal out. You know, that was my hope, to get top 5. And I did. And I got 3rd, you know, even better, 1 spot away from winning a pro card. But I knew, I knew. When I go down from stage and I got my medal and everything, I told my coach, this is great, but I'm happy that I didn't get second because I'm not a second place winner. Mm. And I wasn't sad. I wasn't like, oh my God, no. Like, it was your day and I was happy for you. I was, oh my God. Like, people will think, oh no, you're just saying that because it sounds cute and everybody wants to win. Yes, everybody wants to win, but the mindset component wasn't there. And to win, everything has to be there. Yeah. I was really happy that I didn't get second, honestly. I was really, really happy.
That's interesting. That's definitely an interesting take, but I like it. You know, because there are people like me that are gunning for it. But of course, I've been going for it for years, you know, so my drive was a little bit different. But just to know the different types of thought processes that approach the stage is still very eye opening, because we don't all think the same. We don't all approach the stage the same way. But I do agree that I think that the mind has to be in alignment, you know, to get there. And that was something that I was missing in previous years that I did have. So I can definitely relate to the whole mindset alignment when you know kind of thing. I appreciate you sharing that. What else?
I was scrolling through your feed and I saw that you actually do stomach back. And that was actually hard for me. So can you tell us a little bit about when you first started doing and how it's impacted your journey as a competitor?
Oh, that's a good one, because I'm not consistent with the vacuums. That I am. I'm not going to lie. I have tried many times to be very consistent, and I try in the off season here and there to do them. But I'm not consistent. And maybe if I was more consistent, I can see the impact that it has based on, you know, previous, other people's opinions and their results, that they feel like, you know, the vacuum has helped them with their waistline. I will try, like, this upcoming prep to do them more consistently. It's the same thing with the waist trainer. I remember that I asked you if you use a waist trainer. Mm-hmm. And I have started before and I just can't keep up with it. I would rather like try to keep my waistline as small as possible in the off season than forcing myself to use the waist trainer for X amount of hours a day, because it's really uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable. And even in prep, I feel like my digestion get messed up, because even though we're eating so little and we're hungry, I feel like all my food is at the very big, like right there. Like, I don't digest the food well. So I would rather not use it. But yeah, with the vacuums, I'm not that consistent with them. So I can't really say they have helped me or they haven't, because of the lack of consistency.
So I have another question for you. I see that you have a lot of places posted on your IG that you've traveled to. And I saw one of your funny posts that you had. You guys went somewhere and you were going to the gym. You forgot that you didn't have any sneakers and you had to for your boyfriend sneakers so you can wear it to the gym. Do you have any tips on like what you think people should bring with them when they're traveling anywhere in general, if they're going to be hitting up a gym at a different
level? I will just say, so what I like to do is I will travel with the shoes that I'm going to be working out with, or that I'm going to be working out in. That way I can pack lighter and I can have other things. So I will travel in workout clothes and sneakers. That way I have an extra outfit. I will bring some Vans. like some resistant bands just in case that I don't have equipment. But the thing with me is, and like my boyfriend, my sister, which are the ones that I travel with, that if there is not a gym, we're not booking that place, we're booking something else. As like it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be fancy as long as it has some sort of equipment. So I always try to make sure when I go home, I go to different gyms. When, like, for example, I have a few trips coming up, like we're going to Egypt, we're going to Barbados, we're going to Spain again, San Sebastian, France. I make sure to look the places that we're going to make sure it has a gym. And if it doesn't, to see there's a gym nearby. And in international country, like in Spain, it's very weird the way that they do the memberships. I remember one time, like they needed to do a contract. It's not a type of thing that you go to the gym, you pay your $20 and that's it, you go about your business. It's more strict. It's more like by the books. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm just here for a week and I just get a weekly pass. But yeah, I make sure that I have a gym. Because they know that's my thing. And if I don't ask about it, they're doing the research for me. Like they will ask questions or somebody, like, because they know that's my thing. Not because of bodybuilding, not because of trying to stay on track or fit, but because it's a part of me. It's a part of me. And that is something that I will tell people getting into bodybuilding: if eating healthy and working out, or at least staying active, it doesn't matter if it's in the gym, it can be running, whatever it is, physical activity, if it's not part of you, you don't have it. Like, yes, you can build the discipline and do it, but it's I feel like you're not gonna be successful. And the people that be like, oh, bodybuilding ruined my life, is because you got into a structure that you're not part of, that is no part of you.
That's another gem.
Right. Dropping them left and right.
And I said that because if you think about it, I don't know about you guys, but most of bodybuilders, they have some sort of sport behind the door. Even if it was like growing up in high school, I didn't, but I got into the gym and eating healthy way before I got to bodybuilding. Mm-hmm. Because I have the routine and the structure. That's why my cousin was always telling me, this will be so easy for you. You're already doing all the things that we do and you do it for fun because you like it.
Can we say that, because I'm hearing that, but I didn't completely receive it because my first thought was you didn't have the background of sports, but you had that interest. So can we say that most people have that interest? Because I believe even Jen Dory and I know Jen Dory did not play sports prior or anything. Mm-hmm. Else, so she just got into the gym as well. So I want to say just that they have some interest back there. Yeah. That innate in them that they wanted to bring out, like yourself. Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, for sure. Like, I think you have to have the interest, because some people may get into working out because of bodybuilding. Let's say that they saw that, like, oh my God, that looks amazing. And they want to do it because they're curious or they want to look like that. But we know that you have to love this to stay in this, because at the end of the day, it's hard. I would say it's one of the hardest sport because of the eating part. Because if you think about track, they train way harder than us. Like, their training is crazy. Sometimes I've been looking at the kids, I'm like, God dear, like, how you do that? You know? But you have to be, I don't know, it's like how you say it, like you have to have that interest in you for fitness.
Yeah. Or maybe passion is a better word. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, a passion for staying active, you know?
Yeah. Ah, that was so good. I did want to touch on one thing that you mentioned. You mentioned with your eating, and that when you're coming down deep in the prep, that, you know, certain foods bother you. Do you have like a particular ideal of what like bothers you during that time, like what you're normally eating?
When I was vegan, I noticed there was a ground beef. It is the Beyond ground, but no, the one that comes in the red package, because there's one that comes in the green one, but this one is like super plain. So when I was vegan, I noticed that particular seasoning that it had inside, and the texture was like really hard for digestion. Now that I eat fish and meat and everything, I noticed that codfish will slow my digestion a little and give me a little bit of heartburn. And I think it's because of more like fiber type of fish that is not like tilapia. I don't do tilapia. I don't like it. And I know codfish is very smelly as well. But that's the only one that the only thing that I notice when it comes to the foods.
Okay. And I literally asked because my issue was chicken. Deep in, it's like I literally switched to tilapia, and that's what made me feel better and felt like everything was digesting versus sitting on my stomach. So it's just interesting. The love is broadening just because I'm learning so much about my body and what my body does. And just goes to show with you, there's one thing with me, here's another. Now, I don't know if you ladies have discovered anything with foods, you know, what works, what doesn't work, but it's just beautiful.
And in every prep, as I always say, every prep is different. Why you think you love, and that's the thing that you can live without in prep. In last prep, you be like, I hate this. I can't do that. It's funny. Like, for example, when I get my refeeds, there are some things that I don't do. Or like when I get a free meal during prep, because I know I'll go crazy. Mm-hmm. And in my case, it was like people will go for a burger, and they'll be fine. I remember last prep, I did a burger, and it was homemade burger, you know, but it was like, you know, with it, I didn't do the cheese, but I bought the burger, I brought the bread and everything, and I was going crazy. Like, I wanted to eat everything, and I felt uncomfortable because I felt like I was about to get out of control, and that I could sleep and eat extra food. So I go now for the same thing. I go for my ribeye, white rice, or yellow plantains, and I make them in the air fryer. I love that. And I
plantains, because
yes,
we all on the plantain. So
yes.
I'm like, how do I fit this in?
Right. How many carbs are in that?
No, that's the thing. I remember when I used to do macros, and I wanted to fit my yellow plantain in so bad. It's hard because they have a lot of carbs. Mm-hmm. And like half of a plantain can have like easily 40 grams
of
carbs. And I'm like, oh God. So my coach, he will give us, as like, for example, the night before nationals, that's what I had. I had a lot of yellow plantain and ribeye because I discovered early in prep that I can digest that well. And we do like a mock, you know, we try to be ready like 2 weeks in advance to play around with those type of things just to see how we're going to feel out for the date of the show. And I mean, as of right now, and I hope it doesn't change, that has well worked because I love my white rice. And I know you don't eat rice. I don't understand how or like, why not? That's crazy to me. But rice, plantains, and ribeye does the trick for me.
Nice. All right. I'm just going to be trying to figure out how to plug in that plantain.
Great.
Okay. All right, Joe.
You dropped a lot of gems already. So these last few questions that we have for you, if you have anything else, you know, we'd love to hear it. But one of the first questions I want to ask, I say a lot, is do you want to compete or do you want to be competitive? So when you hear that question, what does that mean to you? And at what point have, if you, even if you haven't come across it yet, have you come across a point where you had to decide, do I want to compete or do I want to be competitive? And what did you choose?
Yes, I have. And that was my first season. And I told my coach, I want to take the year off because I want to do this. I want to do it right. In 2021, I think by like June, July, she told me we still have time to compete this year. And I was like, no, I really want to feel confident because I have always felt like very, that my target area, my problematic area was my upper body. Because when I got to working out, that's what I wanted. I wanted shoulders. Before bodybuilding, I wanted shoulders. So I was like, no, I really need to grow my upper body and I want to be competitive. And she's like, okay, cool. And I remember at that time when my teammate asked me, I was like, no, she asked me if I wanted to compete this year. I say no, because I know I have work to do. And she was like, wow, really? And I was like, yeah, why? I was like, because it's very rare that like we all want to compete. That's what we want to do. I was like, yes, but I want to be on stage and be competitive.
That goes back to show how we all think differently. So she thought everyone had the same mindset, but we don't. And we love that. You for yourself so that you can also come in mentally, you know, and emotionally ready for your journey.
Because I feel like if you know that you're lacking, like that there's a body part that's lacking, I don't feel like you're going to be confident enough up there. When you know that you are balanced, that you have that X frame, that everything is on point, you're going to show that confidence and you're going to be like, it's like, when you know everything is on point, when you walk in, it's like, oh, wow, she walked in. Like, this girl is on stage and she's on fire because you can project that. But if we are posing to hide our weakness, which, trust me, we all have them, and that's why we try to pose the best we can to hide our weakness. It's like, if you know that you are trying to hide, in my case, for example, my shoulders in my back pose, I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to try to like cover my shoulders, you know, my rear delt with my hair. And it's like, no, I don't want to feel like that on stage. I want to feel that like I'm here. I did my work. Go ahead. Judge me.
I feel that completely. That's been my hesitancy all year. You know, all I talk about is these little pebbles on the left and the right that I need to grow, and I ain't got no hair. But you know, eventually I do want to trust my coach as well, since I'm still just learning in the journey. And you know, if they feel as though I'm ready, I will take that stage and pretend that I'm confident.
But also what you need to keep in mind too is sometimes they will know that we're ready physique wise, but we need to know that we're ready mentally. That imposter syndrome, oh my God, that can get there and it's like it never wants to leave. So that's the other thing. Like sometimes we may think we're not ready, but our physique is ready. We just need to believe it. You know, because I was saying, and this is why you asked me before, that if I didn't feel like I was ready, I will, you know, just take the time off. But if my coach tells me like, no, you just get in, you know, in your head, like you're ready. And now and I remember that when I said that earlier, I remember Sandy telling me, you don't need a whole year off. And I'm like, yeah. Maybe I don't need it. Mm-hmm. the mind is the other thing that needs that we need to really work on.
Absolutely. That might be the underlying theme of this episode.
So my question is, what is the realest or rawest moment that you've experienced throughout your whole journey? And as Brandy would say it, it could be the, wait, I can't even say it as good as you.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Good, bad, or indifferent. How you know what I was thinking? Good, bad, or indifferent. What is the realest, rawest moment you've experienced on your journey?
Oof. When I got my tan and I got there and I had to be naked in front of someone and like, oh, you can't shower. I'm like, what? Oh, and you had to be in a cup. That was disgusting. That was disgusting. Yeah, like my first competition. And I remember that the tan, like, didn't fit well with my pH and my armpits went green and I tried to clean it.
No.
That was horrible.
That was an experience.
And we stink. Like with that time we stink. So I think that as of right now that's like the most embarrassing I would say or like real thing. Yeah.
Yes, to any new competitor listening to this. You need to be naked.
I have to say though, I think I would have been a little bit more hesitant to compete if I had known that you had to be naked too. Because yeah. When I got there, I thought you do with your bikini on. They're like, yeah. No, and I was like, huh? What?
I know.
Okay.
And I felt so vulnerable because we're so skinny and you're freezing cold and there is a big fan in front of you. But I was like, no, don't feel that bad because these people, this is what they do. Yeah. They tan people.
Okay.
My God. They're looking at my naked body. What are they thinking? It wasn't a good feeling. It was not.
And just to put it out there, because I know we say that, you know, you have to be naked. They do have this little undie that you can put on that they provide to you, but I suggest you're naked because the line on the undies, when they spray it, it's going to be there, but that might not be where your suit sits. So for anyone listening to this, yes, you're going to be vulnerable. Yes, you're going to be naked, but this is what the tanners do. This is what everyone does. They're super comfortable. They'll make you feel comfortable. Have a conversation. You're good. Be naked. Don't have those lines, you know. I'm just saying. I just want to put that out there. Be naked.
I can't even remember who saw me naked doing my tan at this point. Like
exactly. It's like they.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not very weird though.
Yeah, it is, especially as a first-time competitor. So I could definitely understand that being being a very vulnerable moment.
Yes.
Yes.
So what's the realest, rawest advice that you would have, either for somebody that's thinking about competing or for somebody that's
I will say do it. Trust the process, but question the process as well. Mm-hmm. Don't go blindfolded following your coach's order and trust in them 100%. When you are so new and if you don't know the reputation of the coach. Because there are people out there that they mean no harm, but they can really harm you. So if you're thinking about competing, do it, but do your research in who's going to be your coach. And even though when you get a coach that you can trust because, you know, your friends or, you know, people that are under their coaching, everybody's body is different. And don't just do things, question them. You pay them and you are have the right to question them. So Yes, do it, but question everything. Everything.
Where were you like 2 years ago? When I needed that.
And saying this because I remember at the very beginning, and I don't really want to expose the person. I'm not going to say any names or anything. Someone wanted me to use some peptides to change my skin color.
What?
Yes.
Why?
What?
Because I was too light and it will be better for when I get my tan.
But that's what the tan is for.
Yeah.
Exactly my point. But we're going to leave it there. We're going to leave it there. But people, do your research.
Yes.
Wow. I'm so sorry that even had to be a topic of conversation. That's crazy. Wow. My
God. Crazy, crazy.
Final question. What would you say to Francinus, young bodybuilding, just getting into it, Francinus, now, if you had the opportunity, knowing what you know now, knowing the journey that you've been through, what would you tell her?
I will tell her, you are doing great. Like, keep it up. You're doing phenomenal. Because I did everything, you know, to the team. I didn't cheat, never have in any of my prep. And I still felt like an outsider. I didn't have the fun that I'm having now. So I will say have more fun, like enjoy the process a little more, like have fun with it. Because I was so serious about it and I didn't socialize with people. I was so shy to talk to any other bodybuilder or bikini that was doing this because I felt like I was nobody and they're not gonna give me any advice or like, oh yeah, you just starting your journey, whatever. But yeah, I will say you're doing a great job, but have a little bit more fun and talk to people.
Nice. Well, I definitely wish that I had known you when I was in Georgia. I'd be like, come on, girl, you can be my friend. Oh, man. But when I come back.
I actually have a quick follow up.
Yeah, go for it.
I know that was the last question, but I mean, it's been so good.
It has been.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for sharing so much. I just want to say that you're definitely a powerhouse throughout your journey from the beginning of where it started, you know, to this point into the bodybuilding world. So pretty much, I'm going to say,
what food do we have?
We'll get some food in a second, just a second. All right. With you feeling like an outsider coming to the U.S., and your present time now within the bodybuilding world, do you feel like that has changed a bit for you?
It has. Still a work in progress because I would love to embrace more who I am and connect more with people and don't be afraid to just like talk to people and meet new people. Yeah, so it's still a work in progress, definitely. Like, for example, I remember the first time I saw Jennifer Dory, I didn't even approach her. I saw her walking by, she's, you know, stopped for a second to talk to some people that were asking for pictures and stuff. And I didn't even bother because I'm like, who am I to stop her to take a picture with me or to say hi to her. So I will say that I need to just be and take more chances. And I know that sounds like something silly, like, oh, but it's, you know, it's just a bodybuilder. It's just a picture. But those are the things that I feel like stop me. Like, who am I like to talk to, let's say, I remember when I first saw Paul Revelia, I couldn't talk to him. And then I saw him again, like, no, I'm going to talk to him. So, yeah, like, I need to get out of my head, like, with the thinking of who am I? You know, I am me. And because I can do things and be whatever I want to be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
This world is so beautiful. And talk to everybody. They're going to talk to you. But now you guys, now that you mentioned that, now I'm like so curious about how you and Brandy ended up connecting that day at the show. Like, who talked to who?
No, it's funny because right? Unless you were the one that I was in line, so we were in line to get for, I think it was like the first group comparison. Mm-hmm. And I think your tag from the suit was showing. And I was like, oh, hey, can I fix your suit? Because the tag is showing. But I don't remember if it was you. Was it you?
That night was such a blur. That whole weekend was such a blur. Like, I don't remember until people bring things up. Like, Shawana brought up that when I was crying, you know, she's like, hey, you got to go back out there. And I was like, that was you. And so it was a blur. I remember, I think you had commented on something, or maybe you sent me a DM. And yes. I had so many, and I think I got to like later than what you reached out to me for. But I feel like after that, we kind of started just communicating more and following each other and stuff like that.
And what I liked about it is you know, I started following you, I started liking your pictures, and I DM you, and we actually connect, we click. I remember I did the same thing at Junior Nationals with the girl that won my class. And her vibe was like, oh, I'm a pro now. I vibe and follow her so fast, like immediately. I like, no, girl, like, did that get to your head like that? So with you, I really liked it because we connect, and then when I saw that she said she doesn't eat rice like that, I sent her so many stories of me talking about, like, are you crazy and this and that. And that's when she invited me to the podcast with it. And it's been great.
Yeah, it's funny. I have been eating more rice, I will say that. It definitely helped me in off season, so I'm learning to love it. But yeah, no, this has been really good, and I'm so happy that you accepted the invite to come on.
It's an honor. Come on, like, you are with a pro, with two amazing ladies, and this is the beginning of this podcast. And you had Jessica Wilson here, and I know you're going to have so many other great people. It's an honor for me as an amateur to be here. Like, honestly, it is. Because the way you guys have structured this podcast, with the freedom that we have to just like talk about what we want to share, is going to be one of the top ones. Mm-hmm. Or it will be. If you guys the good job, the great work, it will be.
Thank you for that. We receive it.
Yes, all of it.
All of it.
Well, we absolutely enjoyed having you on and just dropping all of your gems and sharing your mindset with us. I think that I hope that you remember who you are and the hard things that you have done and the hard things that you know that you can do. We've seen it just sitting here talking with you today. You are more than capable of achieving your goal when you want to achieve it. So just know that you have fan base here. You can do good things. I believe that. So I hope that you do too, as you take your time this year. And we definitely appreciate you gracing us with your presence and your knowledge and your story. So with that, we will tell you good night. And for the listeners out there, if you enjoyed this podcast, if you've enjoyed any episode that we have dropped so far, please do us a grand favor and like, follow, share, subscribe, comment on the podcast streaming app that you use or on YouTube or on our page to let us know you love us, who you want to hear from, what you want to see, and just let us know that you're rocking with us so that we can reach the masses, right? We drop every other Friday. Unless that changes, we will let you know. And in between episodes, we are dropping our, well, not even in between, every Friday. Every Friday, we are shouting out who we are fangirling. So definitely tune in for that. It may just be you one day. And
Francinas, if you have any affiliates or anything that you want to drop, you can let the audience know at this time.
Where can people find you?
They're not.
She doesn't want them to find her. Not the
student. Yeah, that's right.
But if you want to leave your Instagram, they might see.
My Instagram, you can either find me by, you know, searching my name, Francinas, but my username is Best of Sennies. So yeah, that's my little Instagram right there. Thank you, ladies, for having me. It's been so lovely to talk to you. And you guys really make me feel at home. I forgot that we were recording this and it was just, you know, talking and sharing everything, and it's unfiltered. Like your vibe, the vibe that you guys have here is just, you know, like cool, like chilling, just talking to my friends type of vibe. And I really, really enjoy it. So thank you for having me.
Are we friends now?
Right. You're stuck now.
Yes. If you ain't know, now you know.
Right. Well, thank you so much, and we will be on next week with another episode. So until then, bye.
Bye.